Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit OlatheKia.com.
Now it's time for very serious football talk with the man who met his wife on a blind date, chaperoned by his parents.
They actually came along on the first date with us. That was a...
No!
I rode in the back seat. I was 22.
The man who needs to take a minute to remember the names of all of his children.
Do all of your kids have the same first letter?
No, actually. Let me think. Do any of them? Tucker, Mason, Cole, Isabel, and Lucas.
The man who can defend you in court, but will probably choose not to.
I'll capture this on a public setting right now. I am an aggressive cuddler in a consensual sense.
Comma, officer.
Good grief, he's a pastor too? When does this guy sleep?
You will find Seth Kaiser everywhere except for in his or your bed, because not only does he not sleep, he's also a faithful husband. So that's important.
It's Seth Kaiser of The Athletic on Almost Entirely Sports.
Back on the air on a Tuesday this week, back on the air with Seth Kaiser of the Chief of the North newsletter, The Athletic, on Twitter at RealMNChiefsFan. Although I'm afraid right now that we're going to see the Twitter handle get shifted over to like Real, at Real Florida Man or something. I don't know. I don't know what the future is, but I know you're going from beachside to hot tub to probably, I don't know, eating raw fish out of the ocean right now, Seth.
You know, that's fairly close to the day that I've had. Although I haven't, like, done any of the things requisite yet to become Florida Man, but I'm looking forward to biting someone's nose off at any moment. And it's going to be quite the memory. And then when the police ask me why I did it, I'll just say I was just trying to fit in.
Yeah. Listen, I mean, if you go – here's the thing. If you go to Florida, there are two things if you're from a landlocked place and you go to a coastal place, I think that's generally true. For me, this was the case in Florida because my family lives down there now. Whenever I go to Florida, every time I make sure I have some like good fresh seafood that I couldn't get here and some good fresh bath salts that I couldn't get here. Like that's just those are two things. If you don't, you've wasted your trip. What was the point?
Yeah, absolutely. Although, you know, the thing you should add to that is you can buy mangoes for like a penny. Like,
really?
My wife, maybe not a penny. Wow. I don't know. But my wife and I were going through the grocery store and she could not get over how cheap the fruit is. And like how plentiful it is. She's like, these mangoes are ridiculously cheap. I was like, yeah, that sounds great. Are we going to buy any? No. I'm like, okay, that's cool. But yeah, it's been awesome. I mean, we left the day that we drove to the airport, my family and I, first family vacation, 14 years. And so it's been awesome. The kids had never seen the ocean. It's been amazing. But the day we left, there was a massive snowstorm in Minnesota.
Mm.
And so we left like 15 degree weather with like 8 inches of snow. And then we landed at night, and so the kids didn't really see anything. And the next day, you know, the kids get out of bed, and I'm sitting there, you know, sunning myself on a balcony, going, "What's up?" And I was clothed. That came out wrong.
No, I think that everybody got that word, those words from you. They went into their brain, and they thought of an image. And whatever image you came up with is up to you. I had you wearing one mango.
Yep, that was the ink blot of radio bits right there. I was whatever you want me to be in your daydream there. And one mango, one ridiculously cheap mango.
Oh, I thought you were going to say one ridiculously large mango. I thought you were going to give yourself some credit.
When you have as many kids as I do, you don't even feel the need to make those jokes
That's
anymore.
Right.
I've done everything possible to prove my manhood.
That's true.
And there's nothing left to accomplish except a sixth kid.
So
and
one,
I don't want that.
So one mango pit. Just
yep.
One little shriveled mango pit.
One mango that you need a magnifying glass to discover. It's a whole thing. So it's been awesome. You spent time at the ocean. Oh man, I'm gonna be curious to see if you edit that out. I need bleeps available.
Yeah. Not
when we're not doing times ours.
Yeah, no, I am a less generous god than Danielle.
Yeah, see, Danielle is willing to really help me out. Although she really, I still remember the episode where I called Josh McDaniels a schmuck, and we did a whole thing. And the bleeping she used there, I bet I had 20 people DM me like, you know, Seth, I'm kind of disappointed in you.
No.
And one of them was my dad. Well, he messaged me. He didn't DM me. That would have been weird. But anyway, I know Florida's been terrific, and I got to. So we got to the VRBO that we're staying at.
You said that, like, by the way, many times. I don't know what that is.
It's like a house rental.
Okay, like it's like an Airbnb. It's like an
sort of yeah like an Airbnb, but like for like cabins.
Cool.
You rent someone's house, and that's basically the whole thing they use it before. And it's a very nice place, you know. So when you first arrive, it's like, this is before your time, but like old episodes of The Real World where the first like 20 minutes are just like, you know. And so it's been great. But so we arrive, and the Chiefs game had started about 20 minutes earlier. So my poor wife had to take over driving so I could watch the game on Hulu.
Excellent.
On my phone. And so then the first thing I do, you know, Jazz is like lugging in all the furniture and the kids and the furniture. We brought our own furniture.
You brought your
furniture. Lugging in all the luggage and the kids, and I'm desperately trying to get the TV to work. I'm a great husband, by the way.
Yeah, crushing it.
And so I get it turned on, and it's the outside, because in Florida everyone has like TVs outside in like their pool area because everyone has a pool. Florida is pretty lit, by the way.
Yeah, Florida, like, Florida's cool actually. It's like all the bath salts are not.
The bath salt, it depends on what type of Florida you're in.
Yeah.
We drove through some fairly questionable neighborhoods on our way here. Mm-hmm. There's like tourist Florida, and then there's other parts of Florida.
You're right. And then there's
very
this,
different.
There's the middle ground of it, which is basically where my parents live now, which I didn't really know exists. It's just sort of like, it's kind of like local Florida, you know? But like it's still kind of in the Bay Area. It's nice.
That's good to know that you can have that. Yeah, and that's something I think people, it's important they know. I am like a hop, skip, and a jump from Josh's parents. Still thinking about going to hassle them. I haven't made up my mind yet.
I give you their address? Do you want their address? Listen, you've bothered me enough for my whole family all at once. But like, if you want to expand your portfolio, I'd say go for it.
I'm gonna think about that. You know, it's that or go to the beach. So, but anyway, so I get the TV working outside in like the pool area that they have. And so it's Anna Maria Island, so everything's really smashed together because obviously real estate is quite valuable here. And so the neighbors are all right there, and I realized it was obviously a pretty intense game. And so I was, like, shouting. And I realized midway through what a maniac I was coming across that. So I started shouting apologies.
No!
As well.
That's the most Minnesota
thing ever.
Like, neighbors,
I'm really sorry the Chiefs are playing today. It will not be like this the rest of the time. I'm so sorry. And fortunately, the neighbors were pretty cool with it. They actually responded, a couple of them. And they were fine with it. Most of them were football fans too, so yeah, it was great. But I haven't freaked out like that in a Chiefs game since the Super Bowl.
Yep.
That was stressful.
100%, man. That's what I had figured that out like by the time the post game show started, because I was just like exhaling into the microphone where it was 100% the most stressful game since the Super Bowl, which makes sense, I guess, right? You know, it's the only real like win or go home game, but. I mean, like, the entire post-Mahomes section of the game felt more like pre-Mahomes football, even than, you know, more so than, like, the Super Bowl, for me at least,
mm-hmm.
because there was that feeling that we've grown so blissfully unfamiliar with, which is the feeling of, ah, bleep it, they're going to blow it. Ah, bleep it, they're going to blow it. Ah, bleep
right.
it, they've got the better quarterback, or whatever. And
right.
I felt that way, and then I was wrong, and it was great.
There's a certain amount of inevitability with Mahomes
mm-hmm.
that you start to miss when it's gone.
Yes.
Prior to that, and that's the thing we've gotten used to with Mahomes. He's inevitable. And we've talked about that occasionally. It just always feels like no matter what, he is going to do something great, and it's always going to be fine. And the thing is, that's true, 99% of the time. That's why it was so weird when the Chiefs lost to the Raiders this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like the game ended, and I was like, well, wait, that can't be possible. The other team has more points than the Chiefs.
Right.
You know, this this is insanity. And that was just it was such a bizarre feeling. It's because he feels inevitable. You're always waiting for it. And missing that feeling, the uncertainty, I forgot what that feels like. And I got to tell you now, I don't want to go through it again anytime soon. Yeah. But boy, did I feel alive afterwards.
Yeah, seriously.
It's like the football fan equivalent to skydiving. Like, it was very, very stressful. It actually answered a question for me, though, and this is one way Chiefs fans should think about this. It was really stressful for them. They got really hyped, the whole thing. I was concerned how I would feel, like how much it would matter to me once they won that first one. I used to be a really, really, really big Kansas Jayhawks fan. Other basketball team, like the only guy to ever like
totally
the only
stunning.
Guy to like play. Well, yeah, obviously not their football team.
No, that's also obvious.
And so I was a big Jayhawks fan for my time living there during like the Jacques Vaughn era and a little before that. So I just once they won a championship, it just kind of faded away from me. I was like, oh, cool, you know, that's it. And I was curious if that same thing would happen to me with the Chiefs. And so now I know. It still matters an incredibly unhealthy amount to me if they lose. And that's what, if you want to take the good from it, that the Chiefs fans need to understand the good from being so stressed out. That's the good part to it, is you know you still care.
Yeah.
And it was incredibly stressful, though. And, hey, hats off to Chad Henne. Although there was some good and bad,
yep.
That interception was... It had me thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to write about why they should have stuck with Matt Moore as the backup, aren't I?
Mm.
Like, because Matt Moore doesn't make that throw, I don't think. And it was a plethora of emotions, but it was awesome to see them pull through. And obviously, it was great seeing Andy Reid get the credit he so richly deserves.
Yeah. And that's the first thing you've written about so far in the Chief of the North newsletter. I don't know what your vacation output plan is or whatever, but if you're not already subscribed, you can check it out at mnchiefsfan.substack.com or bit.ly/SethHatesMoney because it's $12 for an entire year forever. And that is so little money that every time I say it, I think, am I about to say this wrong? And no, that's it. It's $12 for a year forever if you go sign up mnchiefsfan.substack.com or you can grab the link in Seth's Twitter. But you wrote about Andy Reid, and I'll tell you this, and I don't really want to like dig into this because it's not as important or as fun, but you say you were thinking, oh god, I'm gonna have to write about Matt, why they should have stuck with Matt Moore. I was thinking, oh no, we're gonna have to, this post-game show is gonna have to go back to the points the Chiefs left on the board and settling for a field goal on 4th and 1 after going for it on 4th and 1 4 plays earlier and all of that. That's where my head went. And then I don't know if I was just sort of trying to get the taste of that out of my mouth later in the game, but whenever they came out and shotgun in the 4th and inches play call, I felt more like Tony Romo in that spot of like, there's no way. There's nobody in the backfield. Oh, Andy, no, there's no way, right? So walk through how you felt during that time, and then the breakdown of that play, watching it just in GIF form and everything in the article you wrote was great. So hit me with a little bit of that.
Watching it live was insane. I think all of us were Tony Romo in that moment where it was so obvious they weren't going to run a play. It's like, whoa, they're gonna run out of shotgun, you know, with their backup quarterback, you know, with on 4th and 1 on their side of the field. You know, it was just like that was the voice I had in my head. It's an annoying voice, by the way, but it can drive you to do great things if you've got that voice egging you on. Just on a side note, you're going to charge him $12 a year? You know, I mean, that'll do it. So, anyway.
I think the voice in your head and I would get along, yeah.
I probably would. You're going to take a running back in the first round? You two could just have a lot of great conversations.
Yeah, you really could.
So, anyway, so I thought it was so obvious they weren't going to run a play that I kind of felt like they'd overplayed their hand.
Mm.
I'm like, what are you doing? You got to line up like you're going to run a quarterback sneak. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the real way to get them to jump. And I was like, hey, maybe they'll finally run a quarterback sneak.
I thought the same thing.
Because it's Chad Henne and not Patrick Mahomes. And which it's going to be really funny when now fans call for them to not run what's been a wildly successful option play.
Mm-hmm.
But it is kind of ironic that it's like, oh, we can't do sneaks, but we'll do a much more dangerous play.
Yeah, that's a fair thing to mention. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm all for them running that play with Mahomes. You can't – this idea of, like, well, you got to limit your play call, that's dangerous. Mm-hmm. Because you start limiting your play calls too much, you start mitigating the advantages that you have with Patrick Mahomes. That's just a complete side note.
Yeah.
And one of the things he does incredibly well is run those option plays. Can you think of the last time that play failed?
It scored a touchdown a quarter earlier, two quarters earlier.
Yeah. And he ran it and he avoided a big hit because he's much more athletic than he gets credit for. But anyway,
in that same game, I do not remember if it was a scramble or a design run, but he made Myles Garrett touch dirt. Like he went and put the brakes on him by the sideline. I mean, that was not his first carry.
Yeah, absolutely. And Mahomes is a good enough athlete, and you should utilize that. And it forces defenses to account for one more thing, forces them to prepare for one more thing. It's just a huge advantage, and they should use that. It was a freak injury, clearly, based on the fact that no one really knows what it was at this point. So with regards to that last play, I really thought, I was like, oh, man, you know, Andy, you haven't disguised this very well. You know, you got to – and even Romo said, look at their body language. Hill wasn't necessarily even completely in his stance. And that sly dog, Andy Reid, you can't convince me that the guy who controls everything, and he does, like down to like how many steps guys are supposed to take on a screen and what foot to lead off with, all these things. You can't tell me he didn't tell us, hey, sandbag it a little bit before the snap.
You made this point. I hadn't even recognized this at the time. They snapped it with time left on the play clock.
They did. The clock was running. And so I think there were 6 to 8 seconds
eight
left
seconds.
On the play clock, and the clock was running.
Yeah.
There's no reason to think they're going to snap the ball right then.
None.
There's every reason to think that it's a fake.
Ridiculous.
And you know, that's a hard count. It was such a beautiful thing, and it was executed so well. I mean, down to the last detail. Again, snapping it early, no one on the planet expected them to snap it early.
No.
I was upset they got to the line that fast.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, crap, guys, don't waste time. You know, don't risk a false start. And so it was such a well-faked play. And then it was just so well-designed. They've used that sprint out before.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost impossible to cover Tyreek Hill in man on that route unless you are basically just giving complete outside – unless you're taking complete outside leverage and giving away the inside entirely, in which case they run a lot of option stuff. Maybe he just moves inside.
Yeah.
And so it's almost impossible to cover him in that situation, especially out of the slot because you can't get your hands on him right at the line. And it was just such a great – and by doing a little bit of a sprint his direction, it makes the throw a little easier because
yep.
it's a shorter pitch and catch. And they ID'd it as man coverage by having Williams go out and then come back in, which is something they do constantly, right?
Mm-hmm.
They love motioning guys across the formation to see if players follow them. And it was later on Chad Henne mentioned that they knew from film study the Browns love using man coverage in those high leverage situations. So they confirmed it, and they called what really looks like the only option there was Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a beautiful call. It was so well executed. And Andy Reid, seriously, though, he deserves all the credit in the world. I don't know if you saw it shooting through the Twitterverse today. Pro Football Reference tweeted out that that's the only situation that's ever happened where a team had the lead with minus 90 or with 90 seconds or less to go and had the ball on fourth and one on their side of the field and called a pass play, like went for it like that.
Yeah.
It's the only time it's ever happened in NFL history. And he just deserves all the props in the world because sometimes he is too conservative on like fourth down situations. And to do the correct thing and say, I trust us to get – we have the ball right now.
Mm-hmm.
I trust us to get 12 inches. To finish the game outright, we can control the outcome here. And they did. And props to him because it would have been really easy for him to say, well, our defense just stopped them. And the previous drive, it took them like 8 minutes to get the ball down the field. We can do it again. Most coaches would have said that. And he went the other way. So, I mean, good on him. It was such a great call.
Well, and one of the reasons that I'm always pulling my hair out for the Chiefs to be not just more aggressive, but the most aggressive team in football by a large margin is because of Patrick Mahomes. Like, it's the collection of Mahomes and Hill and Kelsey. The second biggest reason to be aggressive in that spot, the first one is the analytics of it all, right? But the second biggest reason, at least, is that you have Patrick Mahomes, and they didn't. Like, I would not have lost my mind at being more conservative in that spot. You and me and Ethan Douglas, I think, had all tweeted as the game was happening, like, why didn't they run it three times? And you're barely ever going to find consensus on, you know, from the three of us on probably nearly anything. To where we're all admitting, yeah, I wish they would all do the thing that none of us really like it when they do very much. Like, they just run the ball three times. But even the disastrous play there, I put that in quotes, but the sack that Henny took, obviously he did the right thing by not throwing it away. But then we find out the reason that play didn't work is because Travis Kelce screwed up. He said it. Henny said it. That's the reason. And that play may have worked if Travis Kelce would have heard the call correctly or heard the whole call or whatever the issue was.
Yeah, man, and he was just and Romo ID'd that right away. Having Tony Romo, having him call games is so great because every a couple times a game, you know, the predicting things, whatever, I can take or leave that. But what he does post-play, where he breaks down a couple of things that you might miss, like he said, you know, I think Kelce was supposed to run a different route there, and he had it too. And you saw Kelce was just agonizing over it afterwards. And those are things that are worth catching. And that's the thing, is it would have worked. And you can see now why they kept Henny. Now, I would make an argument that Matt Moore showed he can do all this really well too. Mm-hmm. But Henny clearly knows that offense very well.
Yeah.
He didn't make any really incorrect reads that I saw. He just had, and that's what makes that interception, by the way, just inexplicable.
So bizarre. Like, and I'll tell you this. So Travis Kelce took responsibility for the route thing, and I very much believe him for all the reasons that both of us have mentioned. Andy Reid said he took responsibility for the interception on 1st and 25. And I would just like to say that if that play call had one option and it was, hey, Chad, yeet this one into the end zone no matter what on first down, I will eat my hat.
Yeah. Well, and this is why Andy Reid, we just can't say enough good things. He's getting so much praise right now, and he deserves it. And my understanding is votes for Coach of the Year close after the regular season, which is one of the stupidest things,
kinda dumb, by the way. Yeah, kind
of
dumb.
Same with MVP. These are things, what you do, okay, fine, don't wait until the Super Bowl because maybe then you've got too much recency bias. But what you do in the playoffs should matter. And, like, Stefanski might win Coach of the Year over Reed. And is there any question that Andy Reid completely pantsed him by and large?
No, Stefanski had some decent moments. The Browns' offense actually looked pretty good for chunks of time, and frankly, really good for a team that only scored 17 points, which is really confusing. Was it 17? I've gotten this wrong. Or was it 19?
I don't remember.
But
the
like,
stress.
It was. I couldn't look at the score because I was screaming. But like, Stefanski didn't have a bad game, and it wasn't even close. 17 points. It wasn't even close. He was clearly the. He was probably the third best offensive coach on the field that day, maybe lower.
I know, because I think Kafka is going to be a head coach one day, too.
Probably before Bieniemy.
It could be before Bieniemy at this point. And so it was just interesting because the things that Reed did very well in this game, he did have 1 4th and 1 where I would have gone for it rather than go for the field goal. You know, I guess I don't think they really anticipated Butker to struggle with misses, which Butker, let me tell you, I have no doubt. I mean, what did he hit, like a 57-yarder or something against the wind that looked like it would have been good from 75 yards out?
It was great. It was. I don't think it was 57, but it was excellent.
It was a 92-yard field goal that looked like it would have been good from the parking lot. And the numbers don't matter. Just listen to my tone. Yeah. That's all. And so, Butker, I have absolute faith in him. In long field goals, game-winning situations, and that's what really matters to me. But holy cow, these short chip shots are starting to stress me out. That's just a side note. Because that game could have been a lot less stressful.
Sure could have.
For a number of reasons. But one thing Reed did very well, he generally speaking was aggressive the appropriate times. I mean, they went for it right after Mahomes got injured.
Yeah.
Running one of their bread and butter plays, and he said, no, we're going for this. Most coaches would have punted. And instead, and I understand that, you know, when you aggregate the numbers, you can't find evidence that momentum moves the needle across games. Mm-hmm. But every player I've ever spoken to on the topic says it just gets tough. Now, you recover because you're a pro, but there's a period of time there where whether you want to call it momentum or confidence is the term that I hear players use more, that can shake teams up. You could feel a palpable shift in the stadium where suddenly it was just survival mode. And Reed helped grab some of that back. That conversion was huge for the entire team. It felt like the whole stadium exhaled when that happened. Where it's just like, okay, we're still here. We're still going to play football. We still have a big lead. And I think that's incredibly important. He made some really good time management decisions at the end of the half. It could have been a little better, but it was still good. Mm-hmm. Much better than Stefanski's.
Yeah.
And he made incredible play calls down the stretch that helped his players make big plays. He just did a great job. And what brought me back to Reed, talking about Henny, Andy Reed is so great at so many things that are required of a head coach. If it were just about X's and O's, there would be a lot more really good head coaches. Because believe me, even Adam Gase knows X's and O's better than the vast majority of the populace.
Mm-hmm.
Bill O'Brien understands X's and O's much better. If you ever watch some of his clinics, they're really helpful.
Mm.
The man knows football. But being a great head coach isn't just about that.
Yeah.
You also have to be able to handle the clock situations, right? You also got to be able to handle all those in-game decisions that are all on you or properly delegate them to someone who's good at it. Mm-hmm. And those things are hard to do. But you also have to be able to lead grown men. You have to be able to make them believe in you. You have to be able to get them to hop on board with what you're doing and do it enthusiastically and have this, you know, culture that everyone loves to talk about, but not a lot of people know how to initiate it, but also still be in charge. How are you going to be in charge of a bunch of dudes? Most of them are richer than you, although not really in Andy Reid's case because he makes a lot of money.
Yeah.
But it's such a tough thing to do. And one of the reasons he gets that from his players, I can't remember a time I've ever heard him even sort of blame a player for anything. It's always Andy Reid's fault.
Mm-hmm.
And that Henny thing is a great example because, you know, oh, yeah, I called a bad play there. Andy, no one believes you.
Mm-hmm.
like you said, I mean, that is an I will eat a hat moment, not in a literal sense because we still owe everyone a ghost pepper and a tase. But
Yeah, thank you for that. I will say, I don't think what I said there is disprovable, really. But, yeah, no, I'm not going to eat my hat. So bleep off, everybody, all right? Bleep off Twitter.
Yep. And so it really is such an incredible thing that he is, because he doesn't just do it in those obvious moments. He does it. It was to the point where the Philadelphia press would make fun of him for always blaming himself. But there's something to that because you see other coaches who flame out start blaming their coordinators.
Mm.
They start blaming their blah, blah, blah. And even like say when Reed fired Bob Sutton, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear a negative word come out of his mouth about Bob Sutton?
No, never.
And if there was ever a time where you could throw someone under the bus, it was probably the most read thing I ever wrote for The Athletic. Like, this is obvious. Bob Sutton needs to be fired. Here's why. Holy cow, this was bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have been so easy, and the whole football world would have really agreed with him.
Yeah.
And he still was like, you know, I could have done better.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, seriously, you can't say enough good things about him, and I think it's a travesty that he's very unlikely to win Coach of the Year. Because he took a team that had a huge target on its back every week as the returning champs, dealing with all the crazy stuff that every coach has had to deal with, but the Chiefs seem to have done a better job than other teams in terms of being prepared, in terms of avoiding bad things from happening in a weird season. And they went 14-1. 14-2, but come on, right? Like, They went 14-1, and now they've won a playoff game. It's hard to get back to the playoffs as the Super Bowl champion. The mental toll it takes on you every week, having teams throw the kitchen sink at you, and he's led them to it. I mean, Kareem Hunt gave him a hug after the game. Kareem Hunt, the Chiefs fired him.
Yep.
Andy Reid fired that dude.
Yep.
And make no mistake, the reason Kareem Hunt got cut was not because he kicked/pushed a woman with his foot while she was on the ground, which he obviously shouldn't have done. I mean, holy cow. But The reason he got fired was because he lied to Andy Reid.
Yeah.
That's the real reason. Mm-hmm. And you can think what you want about that, but it is the truth. Andy Reid has shown he'll give people a shot if they're honest with him. And even though Andy Reid was the guy who made that call, make no mistake, Kareem Hunt still loves him. That's how much his players love him. And so I had to wax eloquent about Andy Reid because I don't know if he'll ever get the credit he deserves, depending on how these next 5 to 10 years play out. Because I really think, more than almost for any other player or coach, I would love for Andy Reid to enter into the discussion of greatest of all time at some point.
It's wild. I think this also applies to Andy Reid in a very similar way to how it applies right now to Pat Mahomes. You saw them go in, let's say, 2 years, and be generous. In 2 years, they went from people with enormous questions publicly asked about their viability all the time to being so good that people are bored of giving them awards. That happened so fast to both of them.
Absolutely. And it's really unfair, in my opinion, for Andy Reid because he's been through the ringer for so long.
Yep.
You know, he always had this asterisk after his name. Yeah, Andy Reid's a good coach, but...
can't win the big one!
Et cetera, et cetera. Yep, can't win the big one. You know, like, it's his fault that the forward progress, one of the worst calls in playoff history, which, by the way, Cleveland fans, I'm sure so many of you listen to nighttime radio on 810 Sports Radio Kansas City. Cleveland fans, look, could Dan Sorensen have been called for a penalty? He could have, yes.
Sure.
That's a 50-50 call right there. Mm-hmm. It's not remotely as bad or as impactful as the forward progress call against the Chiefs and the Titans a couple years ago. But I digress.
That also hurts me.
He got blamed for things that weren't his fault, by and large. And that was always a bummer.
Yeah.
And now the funny thing is, even the things that were his fault that he needed to improve, he has really patched up a lot of those issues.
Yep.
The aggressiveness, he's not as aggressive as he should be on fourth down, mm-hmm. but they've come a long ways with that.
True.
And, you know, in terms of clock management, those things, he's still not perfect with them. They still have some times where you're like, Andy, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. But he's become one of the more aggressive coaches in the league. And remember, he's been doing this since, I want to say, like, 98? He's been doing this for 20 years.
Yeah.
And he's still on the cutting edge of the things that give teams advantages. And there's a reason no one else has been around this long other than, like, Belichick. And that's because it's impossible to stay ahead of the curve for this long, and Andy Reid's doing it.
Yeah. I know that you've got, you know, limited vacation time, and so I know that I'm supposed to let you go, but you did just talk about Andy Reid for 14 consecutive minutes. So I'm gonna squeeze one more out here of the. Well, I don't know. I'm gonna be able to save that phrase.
I owe you a couple. Let's go for it.
I'm gonna squeeze this mango and get whatever juice. No, it's bad. It's all bad. I hate it all. You know what? Maybe that should be the end of the segment. No, I want to ask you real quick about the Bills game. Patrick Mahomes, let's say he's playing, let's say he's not, whatever. I'm curious what you're willing to take from Chiefs-Bills Part 1 from this year, because the Bills certainly look better than they did then. I also haven't seen them play the Chiefs again since then, so maybe they won't look as good again on Sunday. But... and also that game plan ended up being something that I think we all understand sort of what was happening there. I've mentioned 1,000 times, linebackers were pulling this from the newsletter. Linebackers were backpedaling at the snap, so they were running the ball, and it worked. I don't know if that's going to be Buffalo's plan again or whatever, but I'm curious what you're looking forward to, what you're looking back at in terms of this AFC Championship game.
Sure. My understanding is one of Buffalo's better linebackers, Milano, is back, and he wasn't playing at the time. So you're going to see, hopefully, better linebacker play from the Bills. He's a better coverage backer, better against the run than who they had in there at the time. I am curious what strategy they'll use, because on its face, even though the Chiefs really did, they kind of pulled away with that game and controlled it basically throughout. But Mahomes didn't go off, and the Chiefs needed a good defensive performance to win. right? Mm-hmm. And I think if you're the Bills, that's a winning strategy.
Yeah.
Josh Allen's been great this year, by and large. Although he wasn't that good against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And that's one area where the game's going to get decided. Not necessarily what the Bills do against the Chiefs. I think if the Bills try to do the same thing, I'm thinking Clyde Edwards-Helaire will probably play, and I think they'll be very comfortable running the ball a bunch. If they're able to run it for 6 to 10 yards a pop, and that's where you and I talk about this, analytically it's like, okay, if you're going to give me 6 free yards,
yeah,
like free, risk-free yards, fine, we'll run all day.
Sure.
Because who cares?
Absolutely.
Because then it's as efficient as passing the ball. But I'm guessing you're going to see some changes, because while that did work in some ways to contain Mahomes, it didn't completely contain the offense, and the Chiefs could have put up more points. They really geared it down that game. I don't think you're going to see them gearing it down in the same way in the playoffs. They were about to run the Browns out of the building when Mahomes got hurt.
Yeah.
They were doing whatever they wanted with the ball. I think the biggest thing is going to be Josh Allen is one of the few players in the NFL, and that offense is they've got John Brown's back. Diggs is one of the best receivers in the league. They've got the horses to win a shootout.
Mm-hmm.
And so the biggest thing is going to be if the Bills have a shot at winning this game, a realistic shot, assuming Mahomes plays and he's himself, they need Josh Allen to be better than he was against the Chiefs the first time. Because barring some all-time performance, because we've always got those outliers that we could just like, well, you know, there's a possibility. There's always a possibility. But what's most likely is not the Bills are going to shut down Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs to like, you know, 17 points or 20 points.
Right.
It's probably not going to happen.
Probably.
And so they need him to do better. That's where the main matchup is going to be. I don't think there's a ton to take away of. I think both teams are going to try to do things very differently. But the biggest thing for me isn't that the linebackers are backpedaling, and they were. I think they'll probably incorporate some of that, but it didn't entirely work. So they might count more on having their main guy back.
Mm.
I think the biggest thing to look at is the way the Chiefs were able to spook and fool Josh Allen most of the day.
Mm-hmm.
They had some drops that hurt him too, but he was misfiring. He was not throwing the ball very accurately. He was in a hurry. He missed some reads. The Chiefs dropped a couple picks that game that they could have caught too. And so that's the big matchup to watch. Spagnuolo does very well against quarterbacks that aren't terrific at reading defenses.
Mm.
And Josh Allen has shown a ton of growth this year. But earlier this year, Spagnuolo pantsed him.
Mm.
And it'll be interesting to see what the Chiefs have left in the tank that maybe he won't be super prepared for. An underrated storyline to the Chiefs-Browns game is the only reason the Browns even scored the points they did have is because Baker Mayfield made some really good throws.
Some great ones, yeah.
He probably had a dozen throws that were in, like, you know, really, really tiny windows and really good reads.
Yeah.
And if Josh Allen's able to do that, it'll be a game. If not, it's going to be problematic for them. They'll need an all-time great performance from their defense, or they'll need Mahomes to not play.
I feel good about that. I at least as of right now, with some help as tweeted out by our esteemed friend and colleague Nate Taylor, feel pretty good about Mahomes playing in that game. And if he doesn't, everything changes, and we'll all collect ourselves right before kickoff if that. Ultimately, if Mahomes is inactive, then yes, the analysis will change. And that's the sort of insight you can only get on almost entirely sports. So thank you, Seth, for...
Pat Mahomes is important.
Patrick Mahomes still important, and I don't think that Andy Reid forced Chad Henne at gunpoint to throw that interception. Those are two things that I personally believe. For more great analysis directly in that vein, check out the Chief of the North newsletter. You can go to mnchiefsfan.substack.com, or you can just Google Chief of the North newsletter. You can follow Seth on Twitter, at RealMNChiefsFan. He's looking for good delivery pizza in Orlando, I think. So you have that. Let him know. And he also...
I was disappointed. I'm not going to lie. Yeah.
By the pizza?
Orlando, not known for its pizza.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think Orlando has a Little Italy, so I think you should have seen that coming.
Yeah, well, it wasn't great. And by the way, Twitter, in case you were wondering, still snarky. Still very snarky. Sam, you know, Seth, are you okay? That was pretty good stuff. It was an entertaining night.
Did you get pizza?
I did. It was okay.
Yeah.
You know, whenever you're on vacation, you hope because you don't know the good local places. I ordered some. It's not like all photo. I ordered from a place here in Anna Maria Island called Now I can't remember what it's called. I think like Danny's Pizzeria or something, and sure. Their pizza was pretty legit. So, you know, swing and a miss in Florida, though.
Yeah, well, listen.
You notice I'm not giving that place a shout-out.
No, probably. If you need pizza in Orlando, you can DM Seth. You can DM me, and I'll ask Seth for the name of it if you'd like to eat at the same crummy pizza place that Seth ate at in Orlando.
Yeah, probably try something else.
Yeah, probably go elsewhere. Thank you, Seth. We'll talk to you again. Hopefully after the Chiefs punch their ticket to the Super Bowl, a real thing that could happen this weekend.
Absolutely. And hey, I'll see you on our Arctic Wolf tailgate experience on Zoom.
Yeah, so hey, I can't even explain that on the radio in a way that would make sense. So Seth tweeted about it recently. We're doing a thing on Friday, me and Seth and a company called Arctic Wolf. And if you want to ask us questions in a Zoom call, basically, go to Seth's Twitter or go to my Twitter and we'll tweet out a link so you can see how you can sign up and everything. Because it's open to the public this time, which is very exciting. So yeah, I'll see you on Friday and you might see my family some other time this week.
Sounds great, man. Thanks for having me.
Seth Kaiser, Chief of the North Newsletter, The Athletic, Times Ours. A Zoom call near you. Follow him on Twitter at RealMNChiefsFan.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Ravens, Seahawks, Ravens, not happening. Ravens, Eagles. Love this game. Love this matchup. Could be an interesting quarterback situation, and Earl Thomas gets to play in the city of brotherly love.
Anywho, I love Drew Brees.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I love the probably retiring Drew Brees. Anywho. Thanks again to Seth Kaiser, Chief of the North Newsletter. Like, you should know at this point. What was that, Rudy?
I like winning. So he doesn't love Drew Brees anymore.
Wow.
What's Brees' whip game like? That's what I want to know. Get him back in the good house.
The good house?
Because right now he's in the dog house. You know, because Drew Brees isn't winning. If you want to get in the good house, you got to have some whips, according to Colin Coward.
Do you ever feel bad for the people who are just, like, driving through the Kansas City area and they turn on 810 and they're like, what?
From 7 to 10 or from 8 to 11, depending on the night, yes, 100% of the time, yes.
Because I honestly, this is pretty meta, but we can dig into it for a second. I really do feel pretty darn good about how this show turns out for people who are almost entirely sports listeners, you know what I mean? Like, if you like this show, I think we do a pretty good job at delivering what you ordered.
I worry about those people, but it's more because if you like us, something might be wrong with you.
Yeah, but I think it's a large enough group.
You might have been choked out and dealing with a little bit of nerve damage.
That's possible. But I think that's a large enough group to, like, you know,
justify
to pay the bills.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I do wonder... about sort of the onboarding process for people. Because I also think there are times, I think if you joined, you know, for either at the top of the last, really, if you joined at the top of that, ever joined at the top of an hour, started off talking about Patrick Mahomes, kind of warmed you up to how the show goes.
Super sportsy show, by the way.
Super sportsy, absolutely. Next segment, talk to Breland Moore, KCTV5, about covering the Bills, covering the Chiefs. You got the vibe of the show there. But, you know, you join them right at the top. Same deal with Seth. You got the vibe of the show. Got smarter about some things. Good talk. Talked about mangoes in a way that, you know, really got away from me, if I'm being honest.
I like a good mango.
Well, but you get in the top of the hour, you get the show. But if you just join in, if you click the radio on at 10:48, and you hear Rudy Salazar ask the question, what do you think Drew Brees' whip game is like? You've got to be confused.
Here's the thing. I have an excuse, a bailout. This is my seventh hour of radio.
Oof.
My brain is fried.
I was doing the math. I think I did.
You did on
I did
Sunday?
Like six on yeah. Sunday total, but yeah. A lot of talking. That's all right. My voice is here still. We're powering through. I feel good. I got this extra large G Fuel bottle that's basically AES colors, which is very exciting.
I'm very jealous. I don't have the extra large bottle.
I really like the extra large shaker bottle. I don't know why it's more satisfying, but it definitely is.
There's a Twitch streamer who I follow has his promo code is active, so it's 30% off right now.
It's not bad.
I may buy a bottle.
I got like another starter kit with this one, so I can try some different flavors and stuff. I'm not gonna get a G Fuel like tattoo or anything, but in terms of I don't know why this is, but it seems like. There's probably an answer for this, and it probably reflects poorly on me. It seems like, for the most part, the, like, energy drink game is it's not really a crowd you want to be sort of attached to. Think about the Monster energy drink, like, brand is very kind of – it's, like, it's either, like, motocross or –
Man, back
just
in
very
the day,
2012, you know what I mean?
You catch me back in 2008, high school me. Go to the gas station, get a BFC.
Yeah.
If you don't know what BFC stands
big
for.
Big full can.
Yep. That thing, you drink one of those, you weren't sleeping for 2 days.
But why? But like, I just feel like a lot of like the energy drink sort of brands and like associations are just
it's
very
extreme. Red Bull, right? It's every
very extreme.
Like every New Year's. I don't know if they actually did it this last year. I guess it's no, because the pandemic. But usually every New Year's, it's like that's one of Red Bull's biggest nights where somebody does a crazy thing. Whether it's
yeah. Someone jumps out of a spaceship.
There was like in a few years ago, or I think it's a long few years ago. I think it was in high school when this happened. One of the monuments out in Vegas that was like like it was, I think it might have been a Roman, almost like not obviously not the Colosseum, but a pillar like that,
sure,
like from ancient Roman times,
yeah.
Where somebody had a motorcycle and ramped up on top of it, and it's a couple hundred feet in the air, and then went off of it.
I vaguely remember
that. And it's just
that.
Like, why?
Yeah, because it's extreme.
It's extreme.
But even it's like G Fuel's like is not it's not X Games. It's like. It's
e-sports.
Like Twitch and esports and stuff, which is also
a little bit NFL now because Juju Smith-Schuster is one of their reps.
Oh,
which
is
makes
he really?
Sense because he's very big
Bridge
into the he's very big in Twitch.
And it's not an indictment of either esports or like motocross or whatever. It's not even the source of it. It's just I feel like the surrounding aesthetic is very very bro. You know what I mean? But with that being said,
got to grab the bull by the horn.
You got to grab that bull by the wings. But with that being said, like, I don't really want to have a part of my brand be my G Fuel shaker bottle and my tubs of powdered energy. But I also like it though. I do like it. I think it works. I think it's probably the best option of these ways that you're gonna power a show until 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Here's how we're gonna fix it. I've figured it out. I've solved it. Because again, none of these are indictments on the products. It's just I think that the branding needs a little bit of rounding out. GFuel.com promo code AES on 810.
That would be a. If we had a G Fuel sponsor,
we don't need a flavor. Oh. We don't need our own flavor right now.
But a cup.
We don't need our own cup right now.
Our shaker cup that would be pretty.
It would look a lot like this one, I think,
but better
and bigger. It's just
absolutely.
Like a bucket. It's a shaker bucket at that point.
You just pour the entire jug.
Yes, the whole tub.
The
whole
tub.
$30 tub.
Your whole tub.
And you die that night.
The AES way.
You die with an IV bag. Of spicy demonade in your veins.
I gotta try that.
I don't really want to try. I like spicy things. I don't like lemonade, and I like G Fuel, and I don't really want those things all together, honestly. If that makes me a prude, so be it.
Seem more like a moon pie kind of guy.
I'm tempted by that one, yes.
I don't even know really what moon pie like tastes like, so I don't know.
But I think that also just like a late night radio show is a no-brainer. For like a good energy drink sponsorship,
sure.
And I've become partial to the G Fuel. But here's the thing: is if someone says, "Hey, we're like G Fuel, only we're different for some reason."
I'll like anything.
Let's go.
You got.
Let's
you got,
go.
If you don't even have to have money, but if you got free products for me, I'm in.
Yeah, I would like money also.
But money would be cool.
Money would be great. I do like money.
I do too.
Money is good. Money is preferable for sure. For sure. For sure.
Anyway, I like this G Fuel Cup. How do we get there? I don't remember.
Colin Cowherd likes winning.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So you join in, because whenever most of the time, I also like that I'm holding this cup and I'm using it as like a pointer now. It's a good size for that even. You join into the show whenever we're like playing that Cowherd sound for the first time and you're in on the bit. But having to explain why we have to talk about Drew Brees having whips at home, it's totally incongruous. It's because it is a marriage of two different Colin Cowherd bits. I just can't imagine that that's like come up anywhere else in the world.
And also, the Chiefs shouldn't play this weekend if Patrick Mahomes isn't healthy. I stand
absolutely
by this.
Absolutely.
Colin, I agree with. If I had to agree with every take you've ever had to get that take, I'll do it.
I do agree with every take he's ever had.
Absolutely.
Do you not?
I have many whips.
If you disagree with Colin Cowherd, I'm going to come over there and I'm going to put you in a chokehold and chokeslam you at the end of this show. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye, Mom.